thing where you got to hold on and say, God, I'm trusting you, amen. But while I'm trusting you, amen, I'm going to give you a praise, amen. Has anybody ever had to give God a midnight praise, amen? Where it would seem like it wasn't going to work out, amen. But somewhere along the line about midnight, amen. And you might have been patting your hand or patting your foot, amen. Or you might have been in prayer, amen. But somewhere along midnight, God let you know that everything, good God Almighty, was going to be all right. Have I got a witness, amen? Amen. I mean, you toiled with that thing all week long, amen. You had some ups and you had some downs, amen. And you had some tears and you had some pain, amen. You didn't think you were going to make it through, amen. But somewhere along the line, amen, God allowed you to be able to make it through. Look at somebody and say, I'm still here. By the grace of God, amen. I'm still here, amen. Come on, let's give God some praise this morning. Found out, Dr. Lindsay, sometimes you just got to press your pray your way through that thing, amen.
That's right.
Dr. Frank, I found sometimes, amen, when it seems like it's impossible, amen, you got to hold on to the one that can work on the impossible, amen. You got to get to a point where you say, well, God, I don't know how it's going to be done, but I know you're going to do it, amen. Have I got a witness? Amen, amen. Sometimes you got to remind yourself, amen, what God is going to do. So we thank God today for bringing us through one more time, amen. So we're going to open up with our opening Psalm 24. And it says, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. For he hath founded upon the seas and established it upon the flood. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessings from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is a generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, O Jacob. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates. Even lift them up, ye everlasting doors. And the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. The Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him. The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silent. Let all the earth keep silent before him. Keep silent. Keep silent. Keep silent. Keep silent before him. Amen. My answer is fight. Lead us in prayer this morning.
Let us pray. Father God, it's in the name of Jesus that we come this morning, thanking you for this day, O God. But God, we thank you for the new mercies of this day, O God.
Yes.
We thank you for your grace, O God. We thank you for your loving kindness and your faithfulness unto us. We thank you, Father, that you've allowed us to gather into this place, O God, into your house of worship on this morning, O God. We thank you for our families, and we thank you for our church family, Heart of God Baptist Church. We thank you for our pastor and first lady. God, we just thank you, God, because you have been so good to us. Down through the years, God, you have kept us, Father. You've healed us, Father.
Thank you, Lord.
You have made ways out of no way for us, Father. And so, Father, we humbly bow this morning, oh God, thanking you, oh God, for what you have done and what you're doing and what you're going to do in our lives, Father. We pray for the absent part of our family this morning, Father God.
Yes.
Father God, we thank you, Father God, that you've never left us, Father God, that you've always been right by our side, Father God. Even God, when it seems like you're silent, Father God, that you seems like you've abandoned us, Father God, that you don't care, that you haven't done any of those things, Father God, but you're silent for a reason, Father God. And you're silent because you are still working strategically behind the scenes for us, oh God. You're still making ways out of no ways for us, Father God. And so, God, we thank you and we bless your name and we praise your name on today, Father. We pray, Father God, this morning, oh God, for those, oh God, who have mental challenges and medical challenges, Father God. Those, oh God, who need you for one thing and somebody might need you for another, Father God. But we know that whatever the need might be, God, that you are the supplier of all of our needs, Father God. And so, Father, we leave those, oh God, these petitions at the foot of your altar this morning, just thanking you, Father God, for, oh God, for what you're doing in our lives, Father God. We pray this morning, Father God, for mankind everywhere, oh God. We pray this morning, Father God, for those that don't even know you in the free pardon of their sins, Lord, that you will prick their hearts that they might come running. I yield. What must I do to be saved? Father God, we thank you this morning, Father God, for the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit, oh God, that leads us and guides us and strengthens us, Father God, and comforts us, Father God, when we need to be comforted, Father God. We thank you, Father God, for being, oh God, the apple of our eyes, Father God, and helping us, Father God, to continue to be strong in you, Father God. Father God, we thank you this morning, Father God, for giving us the strength in our physical bodies, Father God. Yes. Father God, we pray, oh God, that you will continue, Father God, to give us strength, oh God, in our physical bodies, Father God, that you will continue, Father God, to lead, God, and direct us, Father God. We thank you, Father God, and we don't take life for granted, Father God.
Yes.
God, not only do we thank you for the big things, but we thank you for the small things, Father God. We thank you, Father God, for allowing us to be able to hear, to be able to see, to be able to move, Father God, because we live and move and we have our being in you, oh God. And so, God, we thank you this morning and we bless your name and we pray, oh God, this morning, Father. Father God, we ask, Father God, that you will strengthen our pastor, Father God, that you will continue to lead God and direct him, Father God, that you will continue to give him the strength he needs, Father God. We pray, oh God, that you will continue, Father God, to allow him to preach your word, Father God, with clarity, with conviction, with power, with boldness, and under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, oh God. We pray this morning for our First Lady, God, that you will continue to bless her going out and her coming in, that you will continue to put a hedge of protection around her and around Pastor, oh God, and around the entire First Family and around Heart of God Baptist Church, oh God.
Yes.
Father God, we pray, oh God, for traveling mercies, oh God, today, oh Father God.
Yes.
We thank you, Father God, for just, oh God, just being with us, Father God, just leading us, Father God, speaking to our spirits, Father God. Father God, we just humbly bow before you today, Father God, knowing that we can always come to you, Father God, because you are a prayer-answering God. And so, Father, we thank you. We know that you are a miracle-working God. We thank you because we know that you are a healer, Father God. Father God, you are all of those things and many more, Father God. And so, Father God, we just lay our petitions at the foot of your altar today, Father God, knowing that you will work it out, Father God. And so, Father, we thank you, Father God, and we bless your name and we praise your name, Father God. Father God, we realize that we have sinned and we've fallen short, but we ask that you will forgive us for any sins that we may have committed knowingly and unknowingly, that you would create within all of us clean hearts, oh God, that we might serve you better, Father God.
Yes.
And Father God, we thank you, Father God, for using us as your vessels, Father God, because we are your vessels, Father God. And so we pray that you will continue to use us in kingdom building, Father God. We love you, we adore you, and we thank you, Father God. And we say hallelujah to your name this morning, Father God. And we ask all of these petitions in the mighty and the matchless and the powerful name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen, amen, and thank God.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you, man, for that fervent prayer.
Amen.
Thank God. Amen. For truly the prayers of the righteous avail as much.
Yes.
Amen. And we know that we can truly count on our God. Amen. And God has never left us. He's true to his word. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Amen.
Yes.
I just want to sing this morning, talking about friends like the lowly Jesus. Amen. And as we prepare for our sermon and as we prepare for our communion, amen, we see that Jesus was a humble soul. Amen. And that he even humbled himself to the death on the cross. Amen. And that we should count him as a true friend, amen, that would leave his riches and glory, amen, and come see about his child, amen. Amen. I know moms, amen, have what I call it, the umbilical cord connection with their children, amen. But there's something about a connection with your Heavenly Father, amen.
That's right. That's right.
That no how bad you mess up, or whatever.
Right. Right.
We got a witness. And you can always go to your Heavenly Father. I always tease the mothers, amen. No matter how bad the little boy or little girl mess up, Lord have mercy. You always have a place for them in your heart, amen. Sometimes you be seeming mad at them, Lord have mercy. But you still have a place in your heart for your children, amen. And something about that, but the hymn is number 217. It's entitled "No, Not One." And the first verse is, "There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. None else can heal our soul's diseases. No, not one. No, not one." Now, this is the part I like. Dr. Landon said, Jesus knows all about our struggles.
Yes, he
will guide us till the what? Day is done. And truly, there is not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. What? No, not one. Anybody know him as a friend this morning? Let's sing to the glory of God. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. None else can heal all our soul diseases. No, not one. No, not one. You know Jesus knows all about our struggles. And he will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. Verse 2. No friend like him is so high and holy. No, not one. No, not one. And yet no friend is so meek and lowly. No, not one. No, not one. And you know Jesus, he knows all about our struggles, and he will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus, no, not one, no, not one. Verse 5, wherever gift like the Savior given, no, not one, no, not one. Will he refuse us a home in heaven, though now one, though now one, you know Jesus, he knows all about us, and he will guide us till the day is done. Live not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, now one. No, now one. You know Jesus. He knows all about our struggle, and he will guide us till the day is done. They're not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. Hallelujah. Thank God. There's nobody like the lowly Jesus. Amen. Knows all about your struggles. Amen. Will guide you till the day is done. Somebody said, Jesus will never let you down. He said in his word, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Amen. We thank God that he's true to his word. No, not one. That's one of them oldies with goodies right there, saints. Amen. The church be rocking. Amen. No, not one. Amen. And so we thank God for, amen, making himself known to us that he is a friend. The Bible says that a friend that sticks closer than a brother. So we thank God that he has shown himself to be that friend. Amen. We're going to see if somebody has a testimony in the house this morning. We're going to start over here and work our way back. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. God is good and he is worthy to be praised.
Worthy.
I thank God for another Sunday, a communion Sunday.
Yeah.
Praise God. He has brought me through almost to the end of the month. True to God, he's been faithful. He did more than enough. He is the all-sufficient Savior.
Yeah.
So I bless him this morning. Just want to say thank you, Pastor Kayson, First Lady Kayson, the Heart of God Baptist Church. We praise God this morning for his presence and for his goodness. Thank God for my family. Thank God for friends and loved ones. And most of all, I thank God for Jesus that paid my sin debt in full. And thank him for his promise of the Holy Spirit. I pray, church, that you all continue to hold on.
Yeah.
Don't give up, because nothing is too hard for God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. I give honor to God. He is the head of my life. To my pastor on this morning. God is an awesome God. Mm-hmm. He never ceases to amaze me. Just when you think that you're not going to be able to make it, God shows himself
mercy.
I tell you, God is just good all the time. Mm-hmm. All the time, God is good. Mm-hmm. And so I just thank God. I often say, you tell me what God can't do.
Come on now.
I tell you what God can do.
Mm-hmm.
And God can do anything and all things well.
Yeah.
And so I thank him this morning. I'm thankful. I'm grateful. And I am blessed.
Amen.
God bless you all.
Amen. Praise God. Amen. We got a testimony in the back over here. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Good morning, church.
Good morning.
There's no friends like you know.
Yes.
I just thank God for just being there for me. It's been a little rough on Wednesday. And there's this thing there. You can heal all sorts of diseases.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Because I want in heart, I want a heart that What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and grief to bear. What a privilege it is to carry everything to God in prayer. Hallelujah. Father God, we come this morning with a heart of praise and thanksgiving. We come this morning, oh God, thanking you for the beauty and the holiness of this communion Sunday. Thanking you, oh God, that you have been faithful to us. Father God, you have not come short not one time, but you've been more than enough. And so we come this morning with grateful and thankful hearts. We come this morning with our heart of praise and thanksgiving, giving you the glory, because your name is worthy to be praised.
Yeah.
The songwriter said, give thanks unto the Lord. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord.
Yeah.
For he is good. It is your mercy that endures forever. And we thank you this morning, Father God, for your enduring mercy, because it was through your enduring mercy that we were able to press our way to your house of worship one more time. In spite of what these bodies feel like and look like this morning, we can give you the glory because you have been faithful. You have not failed us. You have brought us a mighty long way. And you have brought us, Father God, in spite of the danger that was facing us, seen and unforeseen, oh God. You made a way out of nowhere. We thank you, Father, because you made the enemy obey, oh God. We thank you, Father, because you gave us the victory, oh God. We thank you this morning, Father, that it is through the power of your blood that we can stand before this white covenant table today.
Yeah.
And we can give you glory, and we can give you honor. We can say, thank you, Jesus.
Thank you,
thank you for dying for my sins.
Mm.
Thank you for giving me eternal life. Thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And thank you for life everlasting. Oh, God, we glorify you this morning. And, Father God, I pray in the name of Jesus that you will look on Pastor Case on this morning. Strengthen him, oh, God. Lift him up, oh, God. Father God, gird him up on every leading side, because you know what he's standing in the need of this morning.
Yes.
And as he bring a word from you, Father, I pray, oh, God, that you will touch our hearts and our minds.
Amen.
Open us up to your Holy Spirit, oh God, that we might hear from you, oh Father.
Yes.
We might be strengthened and healed through your word, oh Father.
Amen.
That we might be delivered through your word today, oh God.
Amen.
Father God, we thank you for the blessing. And then, Father God, I pray that you look on First Lady Kesa. Continue to be her strength. Continue to be her way maker as she go in and out the classroom every day. Oh, God, I pray that you look on each and every student, each and every teacher, oh, God, that you come in contact with, oh, Father. Use her for your glory, Lord Jesus. And then, Father God, I pray for the heart of God in this entirety. Father God, we need you today. Some are sick. Some are sick at home. Some are sick in the hospital. Some are sick in nursing homes, oh God. But we know Lord Jesus as a great physician. So we're praying this morning, Father, that you will touch these bodies, oh God. Strengthen and heal these bodies, oh God. Look on Sister Tracy in a special manner.
Yes.
Oh, Lord, we know that she's your daughter. So we're going to put it in your hand because you are the great physician.
Yes.
We speak healing in the absence, oh, God.
Yes.
Father God, we speak deliverance, oh, God.
Yes.
And Father God, we pray that when she come out, oh, God,
yes,
that she will be a bold witness for
yes,
you,
yes,
even stronger than she was before.
Yes.
And then, Father God, we pray for Dick and Anita Bright, oh, God.
Yes. Yes.
We pray that you continue to keep your servant this morning.
Yes.
Look on her husband, Dick and Daniel Bright,
yes,
oh God.
Yes.
Continue to keep him, oh God.
Yes.
Father God, I pray for the entire Bright family, because
yes,
you know what they stand in the need of this
yes
morning. And then, Father God, I pray for each and every member of the heart of God, Father God. Those that are here this morning, those that are sick this morning, and those that had a desire to come, whatever means they are worshiping today, Facebook, telephone, whatever,
yeah,
radio,
yeah,
whatever it might be.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, God, touch them this morning. Father God, we love you and we thank you. We thank you for how you put food on our table.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you for how you put a roof over our head.
Yeah.
Thank you for how you touched our bodies and healed us. Thank you for giving us a little more saving grace
yeah
and mercy.
Yeah.
Thank you, Father God, for your Holy Spirit that comes in and intercedes for us, even when we don't know what to say or to
yeah
do. We thank you this morning, Father. And, oh, God, we pray that you continue to look on Pastor Beasley,
yeah,
continue to look on his church family,
yeah,
and not only his church family, not only the Coleman family,
yes,
but look on the Reed families throughout the land.
Yes.
Those, Father God, that have lost loved ones in fires and earthquakes and floods and even to the walls, oh God.
Hallelujah.
We pray, Lord Jesus, that you will be that strength and that comforter unto
mm-hmm.
them.
Mm-hmm.
And Father God, we pray that you will look on Mom and Papa Richardson this morning.
Yes, Lord.
Touch their bodies, oh God.
Yes.
Look on senior citizens everywhere, oh
Hallelujah.
God. Be their help and their strength. And then, Father God, we pray for our children.
Yes.
We pray for our teachers and school
yes.
bus
yes.
drivers and administrators. We pray for their parents and we pray for their guardians. We pray, oh God, that you will look on mankind this morning
mm-hmm.
because we all need you, Father. We all have sinned and come short of your glory.
Yes.
But we thank you. We thank you for saving grace. Hallelujah. We thank you for the blood
yes.
that you shed. That we this morning can boldly come to your throne of grace. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Yes.
And give your praise.
Yes.
And give your
yes.
blessing.
Yes. Yes.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Yes.
And so we're coming in right now.
Yes.
We're pressing in right now.
Yes.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Yes.
And we're going to bless you. Hallelujah,
yes.
Jesus.
Yes.
Bless the Lord, oh my
oh,
soul.
Yes.
And all, hallelujah,
yes.
Jesus,
yes.
that is within me.
Yes.
Bless
God.
His holy and righteous
yes.
name. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord, how excellent
yes.
is thy name
yes.
in all the earth.
Yes.
Who has set our glory?
Yes.
Thank you, Jesus,
yes.
above the heavens.
Yes.
We thank you this morning, Father.
Yes.
We thank you for your glory, oh God.
Because
yes. it's your glory, oh God, that brought our pardon. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
It is your glory this
yes.
morning, oh God, that now us to stand before you
yes.
one more time, Lord
thank
Jesus.
Yes. Yes.
We thank you for your glory, oh
thank
God.
Because
it's your glory, oh
Lord.
God, that gives us your peace
yes.
and your joy
yes.
and sweet rest in you.
Yes.
And so, Father God, we love you, we bless you, and we praise you.
Yes.
And we thank you again because of your glory.
Your glory.
Hallelujah. Thank you, thank you, thank you. In Jesus' mighty name,
Jesus
I pray.
Name.
Amen.
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 Amen. Thank
Jesus.
You,
Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Thank you,
Lord.
Thank you, Father.
Thank
you, Lord.
Epistle, prison epistle, and letters to the church.
Amen. Paul was being used by God to encourage the church in difficult situations. And a lot of times we as the body of Christ are called on, amen, to be encouragers even while we are going through difficult situations. And I got a witness. In other words, Dr. Seitz, we might be going through some stuff ourselves, amen. But in the midst of the stuff that we're going through, Dr. Lindsay, amen, God requires from us, amen, that we will minister to somebody else. And we got to win. And what I found so many times, amen, is that you begin to minister to someone else, amen, your situation or circumstance, amen, seems a little less difficult, amen.
That's right.
I found, amen, that when you go, amen, to lift up somebody else's spirit, amen, some kind of way God can flip that thing, amen. And the people that you were going to encourage and minister to, amen, they flip the script, amen, and they end up ministering to you, amen. And so Paul, amen, was aware, he was keenly aware of this, amen. And so that's why he was always reaching out and encouraging, amen, and the church and letting them know, amen, that God, amen, hadn't forgot about them, that God was still with them, that God was going to continue to do what he said he was going to do. And Paul would get happy, amen, when he would get the positive response, amen, from the people that he was ministering to, amen. In other words, when you have children, you see your children doing good, amen. You get excited, you get happy, amen, because you realize, amen, that your labor is not in vain, amen. And so we have to continue to minister to each other as we spread the gospel, amen. And this is one of the things that Paul shared with the church at Philippi, amen, is that they should fellowship in the spirit of God and in the mindset of God, amen, so that they can encourage each other, amen, while they were going through various situations and circumstances. And as we've been studying, last week we talked from the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah was encouraged to continue to spread the word of God, even though he was going through some challenging times. And book of Isaiah was encouraged to continue to spread the word in the midst of difficult situations. Amen. And we look at this month, and many people call this Black History Month, but we know every day is a Black History Day. Amen. Believe that alone, Dr. Kenzie, but Black folks are still going through, and we got to listen. Particularly Black folk, amen, in the United States of America, amen, that we are still, amen, in the struggle, amen. And so many of our leaders have said that there is just injustice anywhere, injustice everywhere, amen. And so we as a people, amen, not only the people of color, but the people of God, amen, have to continue to turn and trust in God, amen, for everything that we do, amen. Because we know that in the midst of the struggle, in the midst of the trial, in the midst of the tribulation, amen, that ultimately God is going to have the final say-so, amen? But it's difficult. It's difficult, amen, to live in certain situations and circumstances. It's difficult to be able to stand on the word of God in the midst of persecution, in the midst of discrimination, in the midst of racism, and in the midst of injustice, amen. But that's why we have the word of God to encourage us, amen, that we will be on the same accord, amen, to see it through to the end, amen, because the enemy, Dr. Seitz, would like to see all of us throw in the towel. The enemy would like to see all of us just give up, amen, and go along with the crowd, amen. But how many of you know, amen, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and power and of a sound mind. In other words, God has equipped us and given us everything we need, amen, to be his children, amen, and to act like him, amen. I remember my mother and father, Dr. Lindsay, amen, they would tell us to act like we had home training, amen. And when you would go out, that you were supposed to represent the name, amen, and that you were raised to act what a certain way and behave, respond a certain way, amen. And so Paul, in this second, in this letter to the Philippians, amen, he's encouraging the church at Philippi to have the same mind as Christ Jesus. In other words, he's encouraging them, amen, that in the midst of your trials and your tribulation, stay focused, amen, on what God will have you to say and to do and how to behave, amen? And a lot of times we forget, Dr. Sykes, that we still live in the flesh.
That's right.
Amen. Every now and then we have to be reminded by God, amen, that we have made it to heaven yet, Lord have mercy. And that we're still in the flesh, amen? And so from time to time, God's word, amen, has to encourage us, amen, to be Christ-minded. So Paul picked it up, and I'm reading from chapter 2, and he says, if there be, this is chapter 2 of the book of Philippians, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, and then and it goes on, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any vows in mercy. In other words, he's appealing to the church, amen, to be caring, to be comforting, to be loving, to be a spirit fellowship, amen, full of grace and mercy. Because Paul knew, amen, at that particular time that there was some folk, amen, that were falling to the tricks of the enemy, amen, and that they were getting on each other's nerves. And we got to win. Have you ever been in a situation, amen, where folks started getting on your nerves and you started getting on their nerves, amen? And after you've gotten on somebody's last nerve, amen, if they're living in the flesh, amen, they might have the tendency, amen, to be ungodly. We got to wait. And if somebody got on your last nerve, amen, you would have the tendency, amen, to be ungodly. And so Paul was saying, I need you to recognize that you need to keep your eyes on the prize, amen, and that is to preach and teach the gospel to those that are lost, that they might find salvation in Jesus, amen, and realize that the trick of the enemy is to keep you pissed off with this one, and you pissed off with this one, and you upset with this one, and the turmoil that was going on, amen, kept the focus off of the prize of preaching and teaching the word of God. So Paul says, I need you to focus. Just like he told Jeremiah to focus on spreading the gospel. Just like he told Isaiah to focus on talking about God. Just like he talked about all of his prophets and all of his writers of the Bible to tell the church, amen, keep your focus on God because the enemy will try to come in and distract you, amen, from doing the will of God. Amen? And so he goes on, he says in verse 2, Paul says, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. And you will say, well, why, Dr. Lindsay, is Paul talking to the church, telling the church to have the same love and be of one accord and be of one mind? And the only reason that he's saying this, amen, is he's warning them and telling them, amen, not to let in those things that are not on one accord, those things that are not loving, those things that are not like-minded, amen, interrupt, amen, the spreading of the good news of Jesus Christ. In other words, Paul saw all the good things that were being done in the church of Philippi, But he also saw some things that he needed to warn them about. He needed them to understand that if you let your guard down, amen, these things will cause you to not be like-minded. These things are some things that will cause you to not have love. These things will cause you not to be on one accord. And so we have to guard against those things. We have to let our children and our loved ones and our family know, amen, that we have to be careful, amen, to not to infight, not to be not loving, not to be on one accord with each other, because that's a trick of the enemy, amen, to keep you from doing the will of God. So Paul is talking to the family, telling us that we need to stick together as a family of God. Somebody ought to say amen. And he goes on to, in verse 3, he goes on to admonish. He says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better, what? Than themselves. In other words, he's saying, don't let this strife and vainglory, there was some folk in the church, amen, and they were getting into arguments, and they were getting into conversations, amen, that were bringing, amen, the focus of the church down, amen. And it got back to Paul, and Paul had to write the letter and said, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each other esteem other better than themselves. In other words, think about the family, amen. Think about the things that are needed in the family. Think about the things of the family of God. Don't let these things distract you. Don't let this vainglory. Don't let this strife. Don't let this not being on one accord. Don't let this not being like-minded. Don't let this being of one mind take the place, amen, of what God has done and what we're supposed to be doing because of what God has done. And then here's the one in verse 4. He says, let not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. In other words, Paul was saying, don't be selfish about you, yourself, and I. It's okay, amen, to be concerned about yourself, but God says also be concerned about what? Someone else. Have I got a witness? In other words, he said, we need to keep this perspective that it's not all about you, amen? And sometimes, amen, when we get distracted, we think it's all about us, amen? But God says, not only is it about you, but it's about everybody else. It's about not thinking yourself to be more highly, amen, than you are, amen? And a lot of times, amen, you have people and cultures, amen, and this nation and this race, amen, that thinks it's all about them, amen, that they forget about everybody else. They get to a point, amen, where they think they're better than somebody else, amen. They think, amen, because they're here and you're there, that they're better than you, amen. But God says, don't get it twisted, amen. That not only should you think, amen, that God is concerned about them, but you should be concerned about them too. And so he says, don't think every man on the things of others, on your own things, but think of the things of others. And then he goes on to break it down. So they have mercy. And when we see in the likeness of what God has done, that God says through Paul, he says in verse 5, he says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Lord have mercy. In other words, God calls to account everybody. Amen. And he says, if you got any type of mind, amen, have the mind of Christ. The mind that Christ has, the mind that Christ walked this earth with. Because if you have the mind of Christ, the mind that Christ walked this earth with, amen, what will happen, amen, is then you'll be on one accord. Then you'll have the same love. Then you'll be like-minded. Then you'll have the vows of mercy. Then you'll have the fellowship. Then you'll have the comfort. Then you'll have the joy. Then you'll be able to think on others, amen, as well as yourself. Then you'll be able to focus, amen, on carrying out, amen, the will of God in your life, being able to carry out your assignment, be able to preach and teach the gospel to those that are lost. Because if we don't have the mind of Christ, amen, what happens is the focus on those that are lost, amen, gets distracted by the trick of the enemy. So what kind of mind did Christ have? If you look at this mind, Dr. Sanks, he says in verse 6, he says, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God. And so what Paul is saying here is that even though Jesus was equal with God, his assignment was to come here, amen, and to walk as a man like you and I. In other words, he divested, amen, himself, amen, of using the power that he has, amen, in this situation on earth, amen, so that he could suffer, that he could deal with it in a way that would show us, amen, how to deal with it. In other words, God himself came down, took on flesh, and said, I'm going to deal with it just like them in the flesh, amen, so I can be an example to them, amen, how to deal with it in the flesh. In other words, I'm equal with God, but I'm going to leave my home in glory, Lord have mercy. Sacrifice myself to the death of the cross, amen, so I can walk like they walk, amen, so that they can see, amen, what it takes, amen, to be able to redeem mankind from the power and the penalty of sin. In other words, Jesus was ready to give his life, to give his all, amen, so that we might be saved and be able to experience a new life in him. And so God through Paul is telling us the life that we should live, amen, is a sacrificial life, amen, not putting ourselves and our things above anybody else, but looking to Jesus, amen, who divested himself, amen, and said, I'm God, I'm equal with God, but I'm going to become in a man in a flesh, amen, just like man, to be able to fulfill the word and the law and the promises of God so that those that are lost, amen, might be able to experience it as well. Like I said, he looked past our faults and saw our needs. But while we were yet in sin, Christ died for the what? The ungodly. Lord have mercy. How many of us be willing, good God Almighty, to die for the ungodly? But what we do is we look at the ungodly and we say, nah, I'm not worried about them. I got mine. They're going to have to get what they is. But that's not the mind of God. Look what he says. In verse 7, Dr. Lindsay says, but made himself what? Of no reputation and took upon him the form of a what? Servant, and was made in the likeness, what? Of men. When we sing that song, Jesus knows all about our struggle, and he will guide us to the day is done. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus, no, not one, because the friend that we have in Jesus knows what we're going through. In other words, he's not so high and holy, amen, that he doesn't know the struggles that we go through in this flesh. Because he went through the struggles in the flesh just like we did, yet without what? Sin. Look what he says in verse 8. And being found in the fashion of a man, what did he do, Dr. Saint? He humbled himself and came what? Became obedient unto death. Even the death, what? Of the cross. That's from showing up humble. That he says, I'm going to be obedient, I'm going to be humble, and I'm going to die so they don't have to die eternally. He said, I'm going to be humble, amen, that even though I'm equal with God, amen, I'm not going to use my power to get by this thing, but I'm going to go through the struggle. I'm going to go through the suffering. And Dr. Sykes, I'm going to go through the worst horrible death known to man back then was the death, what, on the cross. Because if you died on the cross, the fluids in your body would build up in your lungs so you couldn't breathe. So not only were your body in pain from the nails and the beatings, amen, and the thorns and all of the physical pain, but the period of time where it took for your lungs to fill up, amen, to the point where you couldn't breathe. On a cross, amen, with nothing but a loincloth on, amen. And then waiting in the sun, amen, till you couldn't breathe anymore. And you're trying to lift yourself up to try to get some air, but because of the weakness of your body, amen, eventually you would succumb, amen, to the death on the cross. Just to make sure that, Dr. Lindsay, that you were dead, they would poke a lung with a spear to see if the lung is filled up with water. And if it spewed out water, amen, they would know that you had died from asphyxiation. He said, I'm willing to do all of that for you. And he said, Paul says, in light of him doing this, why can't we, amen, humble ourselves, Lord have mercy, get on one accord. Forget about me being all me. Amen. Be humble enough to say, don't worry about me. Let's take care of you. Amen. Be humble enough, amen, to not only think about my stuff, but to think about other stuff. To be humble enough, amen, to say, let's get together in fellowship in the spirit. Let's get together and have some mercy upon each other and care for each other. Let's set an example to the rest of the community of what Jesus did. Amen. There's nothing worse, amen, in the world than folks talk about, I ain't going to the church because the folks in the church they ain't right in the church. Lord have mercy. Even though that's an excuse, amen, we in the body of Christ shouldn't give them what? That's an excuse. So in verse 9, Paul says, wherefore God also, and this is the part I like right here, thanks, amen. If you do what God asks, what is required of you, God, amen, will reward your faithful obedience to him for their mercy. So he says, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and giving him a name, Dr. Lindsay, which is above what? Everything. In other words, the humble servant, the one that they spit on, the one that they betrayed, the one that they ridiculed, the one that they scorned, the one that they beat, the faithful servant, the one that divested himself, amen, and came in the form of a man. The one that humbled himself to the death of the cross, amen. Many folks would say, amen, that he's a loser, amen. Many would say, amen, that he was a wimp because he humbled himself and allowed himself to be beaten, allowed himself to take on the form of man, that allowed himself, amen, to be humiliated before the thousands, that allowed himself to be arrested, allowed himself to be put on a tree on Calvary's cross, that allowed himself, amen, to be placed on a tree with nails in his hands and nails in his feet, that allowed him to be mocked as the king of the Jews, that allowed himself, amen, to go from judgment hall to judgment hall. Jesus says, no man take my life, but I willingly lay it down. And in this world that we live in, amen, that's full of hatred and evil, that's full of crook. And Paul says in verse 15, he says, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation among whom ye shine as lights in the world. And in other words, what Paul was saying is we need to take on the mind of Christ. That yes, we're going to suffer. Yes, we're going to endure some hardship. Yes, we're going to endure some difficulties. But what he's saying is that if we as the church stick together, if we as the church continue to have fellowship in our faith in God, if we put our petty differences aside, we'll be able to be a shining light, that we will be like a city that's set up on a hill, that shining light in darkness, so those that don't know God, that they can look at us and say that we've endured the strife, we endured the pain, we endured the ridicule, amen. We've stuck together like a body. We've comforted each other. We shared tears and we shared our wealth and our blessings with each other. We shared our gifts with each other so that we as a church body could endure, so we can shine light. And he says in that word, in that 15th verse, in a crooked and perverse nation. That we live in a crooked and perverse nation, and God is looking for the church, Dr. Sykes, amen, to be that light that shines in darkness. But if we fall to the trick of the enemy, we'll begin to start looking like that crooked and perverse nation, what? Ourselves. So he goes on, if we go back to the reward that God gave his servant. Verse 9, again he says, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. In verse 10 it says that at the name of what? Jesus. Amen. Every knee what? Should bow. Of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. In other words, he's talking about things that are in heaven, things that are in earth, things that have already been buried. And in verse 11, he says, and that every tongue should what? Confess that Jesus Christ, what? Is Lord, what? To the glory, what? Of God the Father. In other words, Jesus humbled himself, amen, made himself of no reputation so that he could glorify the Father. And my brothers and sisters, God is looking for us, amen. In verse 12, he says, wherefore, my beloved, as ye have also obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. In other words, what he means by fear and trembling, amen, is to recognize that you can't do it on your own. Have I got a witness? That you got to realize, amen, that we can't do any of this stuff, amen, except through the power of God. And he goes on in verse 13, he says, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. In other words, God says, don't get caught up, amen, if you come up short every now and then. Have I got a witness? And I don't know about you, amen, but every now and then I find myself coming up short. But what God is telling us, amen, is that Jesus paid the price, and it is Jesus who is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It is Jesus who has the power, and it is Jesus who is encouraging us through the presence and the power of his Holy Spirit, that even though we're still flawed, even though you get on my nerves, even though I get on your nerves, that God is still giving us the power to work it out, that we can be like that city that's set on the hill, that shines light in darkness, that those that don't know God can come to know him as Lord and Savior of their life, that we can get together and be on one accord, on one mind, on one fellowship, understanding, amen, that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, that we won't think of ourselves more highly than anybody else, that we won't look down on the sinner, because at one time, amen, we were lost and we're God, enemies of God ourselves. But God, amen, in the fullness of time died, what? For the ungodly. So what is he saying to the church? What he's saying to the church, amen, is don't get caught up, amen, if you fall down. That your brother and sister should be able to have enough grace in your mercy, amen, to pick you back up. Have I got a witness? Amen. Because sooner or later, it might not be me falling down, amen, but somebody else, amen, is going to fall down. And see, that's one of the issues in the church, amen, is that we can always be finding somebody else is falling, somebody else is falling down, amen. But when it comes time, amen, for us to fall down, amen, we want to experience the grace, what, and the mercy. So what God is saying to Paul, amen, is somebody fall down, amen. You restore them just like you want to be restored. You love them just like you want to be loved. Because it ain't no fun, amen, being kicked when you're down, amen. Because you see your brother and your sister that they're down, amen. Somebody reach way down and pick them up. Why? Because God reached way down and picked you up, amen. So we ought not have no attitude, no schism, no ism, because all of us is falling down, and somebody had to have some grace and some mercy to pick us back up. Paul is writing to the church and saying, you lost your focus. You need to get back on one accord. You need to have the same mind. Christ already paid the price. He's giving you the power. He's giving you the spirit. He's giving you the ability. He said, work it out through trembling and fear. Understanding, you can't do it by yourself, and nobody else can do it either. Goes on to say, amen, verse 14. Do all things without murmurings and disputings. Because the murmurings and disputings drive other folks away from Christ. This is what needs to happen in the body of Christ. We need, amen, to realize that we can do all things through Christ that gives us the strength. And that we all fall down every now and then. But we can trust God, amen, that he can get the glory in the midst of this evil and perverse nation. Because there's going to be nobody with an excuse, Lord have mercy. Because God has shown his glory through the very things that we see, amen. And that God, amen, has brought up a people, the body of Christ, amen, that shows love and kindness in the midst of this evil and perverse world. So my brothers and sisters, you say, well, Pastor, why are you preaching this message? Well, because we are still living in an evil and perverse nation. All you got to do is look out your window and you see somebody robbing and somebody stabbing and somebody killing. And if you turn on the news, you'll see this kid being killed and that kid being killed and this husband and this wife and this race and this group, amen, killing. And there's so much evil out there that nobody, amen, seems that God is in control. But what God is telling us, amen, is there's still folks out there that need to be saved. What I'm telling us, church, amen, is that in spite of what we've done, in spite of our shortcomings, in spite of us falling, and all of us are having issues from time to time, God is saying, I still need you, amen, to be a light shining in darkness. God is still telling us, amen, put your petty differences aside and continue to hold up the bloodstained banner. Have I got a witness today that we need to understand, amen, that somewhere along the line, amen, somebody is looking at you and somebody is looking at me to see the glimmer of hope of Christ Jesus in you. God has placed his spirit in you and spirit in me, and we have to shine in darkness. We don't have time, amen, to get caught up with murmurings and disputes. We don't have time, amen, because somebody is lost and on their way to hell looking for somebody from the church to shine a light and tell them there's a better way in Christ Jesus. So don't get caught up in the things, amen, that's not going to cause somebody to be saved. Don't get caught up in things. And so when we get to those places where we have murmurings and we don't have fellowship and we don't have the mercy, don't get caught up in those things because somebody, amen, needs to be saved. And if you put that in our mind and be like-minded, we won't fall for the trick of the enemy. You say, well, why is the churches, so many churches around the world empty? Why is it that nobody's coming back to the church? Why is it, amen, that people aren't getting saved and getting baptized? Why is it seems like it's getting less and less? The reason why it's getting less and less is because time is winding up. Time is winding up. And the church, amen, has lost focus. The time is winding up. We think we got time. They thought Deacon Coleman was coming back to church this Sunday. He didn't make it past Thursday. We don't have time for the schisms and the isms. We don't have time for the jealousy and the words of unmercy and unkindness. We don't have time not to be on one accord because folks are dying and going to hell. So what if I fail down? I guarantee you, next year, somewhere along the line, within a year, you're going to fall down too. You're going to say the wrong thing, do the wrong thing too. But don't get so caught up, amen, in the devil's trick that you say, because I fell down, because you fell down, because they made a mistake, that you're going to tap your arms and say, I'm not going to be about church no more. That's a trick straight from the devil to get you and me and my feelings, amen, not to do the work of Christ. Because it don't make no difference. You saved, I'm saved, amen. We just ain't concerned about somebody else getting saved. Lord have mercy. So when we show love and kindness toward each other, don't need to get back to church. Work of the church. Folks need to stop making excuses about why they can't serve God. Because they got the worst pastor in the world. That means I raise my hand. I'm the worst one in the world. Lord have mercy. Worst one. Amen. But I still love it. Lord have mercy. Amen. I'll be that one. Amen. I ain't come to church with pastor, amen, there. Don't have mercy. What they got to do with brothers and sisters, so be saved. And you serving God, amen? Believe me, God will deal with each one of us, including pastor.
That's right.
He got a woodshed for every one. Got your name, my name on it, amen. I ain't going to your woodshed, and you ain't going to mine. But I guarantee if you go in your woodshed, you're going to get the same beat down, amen. Leave that alone. But folks that say they don't want to go to church no more, they ain't got time, they're tired of the choir, tired of Kazakh, they're tired of the minister, they're tired of this person, this person, this ain't, I ain't going, they ain't getting this, I ain't getting that, all this, all that. All that is fine and good. But God is saying, dry your little pity party up, amen. I got all of that. You got nations of people that are not saved, and you crying about why the carpet is blue instead of red. Crying because they black and you white, amen. Y'all got to go to the same Walmart. And we don't want to see no white folk, and we don't want to see no black folk in there, but we all going to heaven.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
You go to white church, I go to a black church. Lord have mercy. We all going to heaven. Going to get mad with God because white folk and black folk got saved. Don't want to get in the same pool, baptism pool, because you black or you white. This is what Paul is telling. This is a letter to the church. Talking about murmuring, talking about fellowship and vows of mercy and being on one accord and being like-minded and don't do nothing through strife and vainglory. He's talking to the church. This ain't talking to the folk outside the church. He's talking to the folk with issues inside what? The church. I'm the words. I'm telling you what the words say. Amen. And we ought not think, amen, that this doesn't apply to us. Somebody gonna go say, Pastor preaching, he's teaching me. He say he's picking on me. The shoe fit. I'm trying to get it off of you. I don't want to see the waist.
Put it on, Wes.
And if I got to be the mean, mean, mean guy, I'll be the mean, mean guy like Paul was the mean, mean guy. But the focus needs to be on the folk that are lost. Are y'all tracking with me today? Ain't nobody perfect in the church. You're going to have your ups, your downs. You're going to make your mistakes. But God said, have some mercy. Don't stack your arms, put your behind on your back, and stomp out. I ain't being part of that church no more. And then for the folk that are lost, Lord have mercy. Don't let me or anybody else, amen, be the cause of your excuse that you go to hell. Because I don't have a what? A heaven? No hell. The word says that Jesus is what? King of what? And what?
Lord of
Lords. And he said that every knee what shall bow, right? Of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should what? Confess that Jesus Christ is what? Lord, to the glory what? Of the Father. In other words, I ain't got nothing to do with it. So don't let me in my mistakes, amen, send you to hell. It's not going to happen. You're going to bust hell wide open. Somebody was casing on for him. Because he looked at me and didn't say good morning to me. Amen. These preachers fought, amen. Because they preached the word to me, amen, that I didn't like, amen. And God going to say, oh, what about you? Where's your faith? So what am I saying? All I'm saying is this. God wants us like a verse 13. In the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, to shine his light in the world. That's all he wants. And you can't do that tooting your own horn or being unforgiving and not showing mercy, because people will look and see you and see that you acting just as fool and funky. Amen. That's one of my mother's words. Funky, funky, amen. Just like everybody else. Being ungrateful, unmerciful, not being kind to people, foul, vile, and everything else. Not having the mind of Christ, only when you want to. But God said, I don't want you to do that. And then finally in verse 16, 11 again, holding forth the word of life that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. In other words, God wants to know that it was worth it. He said, don't hold the word of life in such a, this is what God has put inside you. Let me see if I can paint a picture. God has put his spirit inside of us. He put the word of life in us, not just to keep it for ourselves. Are you trying to go with me? But to shine it so somebody else can see it, and they can have the life, a new life in Christ. In other words, we got to cut through all the noise and realize people are dying every day and going to hell because they have not seen the light shine in darkness. Christ came. He was like a light that shined in darkness and showed us the way of salvation. And he put his spirit in us for us to do it. But we still live in the flesh. And this is what Paul is saying. Y'all still live in the flesh. So from time to time, y'all going to act up? Don't think you will act up, not act up from time to time. But he said, in spite of that, that doesn't negate the fact that I put the light in you and expect you to go shine so that I can see that my labor is not in vain. And that you can rejoice. And that we all can rejoice together to seeing the power of God begin to start affecting people's lives. That's what it's all about. But he's trying to say, amen. All I'm trying to say is let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Paul wrote in the book of Romans, he says, to be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And what happens is every day we study the word, every day we pray, every day we fellowship, every day, and that's why it's so important for us to have fellowship one with another, because you can see when I'm down, I can see when you're down. You can see when I'm hurting, I can see when you're hurting. That's the body of Christ has to come together and love on each other. Amen? And help each other and strengthen. That's why we have to gather together on so much of a regular basis. You know, folks that help me in church, I don't need this. We need to gather. We need to gather. It's like family. Anybody ever had a family, amen? Or somebody in the family was acting up? You just don't disinvite them. They still your family. Amen? You still got to show love, as mad as you might be. They still what?
Damn.
They still your family. Amen? And wherever you go, amen, folks going to have families that have issues, and they what?
In your mind, they're going to be dysfunctional.
Adam and Eve, they had children that was what?
Dysfunctional.
Adam and Eve was what?
Dysfunctional. Yep.
So what you think going to happen to us? We're going to have dysfunction. Mm-hmm. Church is a place for folk, sick folk. Amen.
That's right.
Trying to get with you.
That's right.
Amen. So come on. Let this mind be in us, which was also in Christ Jesus. And we encourage folk, amen, that we see on a regular basis. Tell them don't go to hell. Lord have mercy. I think that's going to be a part of the ministry this year. Amen. We're going to have a don't go to hell ministry. Amen. Don't go. You know how people get mad at you and tell you to go to hell?
Yeah. Quickly.
Tell them don't go to hell because of what they did or what they did or what they did. Amen. But let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Read the whole book of Philippians, something like 4 chapters. Mm-hmm. But it's Paul, it's a love letter to them. But even in that love letter, he's admonishing them, amen, about being on one accord. It's a letter to the church. Amen? And so we have to understand that we have to take these lessons and apply it to our church and our life. Because of what Christ has done, we have the ability to do it as well. So we're not asking, amen, to be done anything that Christ won't give us the strength and the power to do. He'll give us the strength and he'll give us the power. So let's get focused. Let's be on one accord. Let's be the church that God has called us to be. Amen. Let's love on each other. Let's be on one accord, one mind. Amen. Doing the things of God that we will be those light. Amen. The shining darkness, the folks that are lost can see it. Amen. If you get mad at me, get glad with me. Amen. Get upset with me. Amen. Amen. Get over it and I'll get over it.
Yep.
Some folks say bad with folks for 25 years. But we can't forgive. Amen. Like the way we are forgiven. That's what the Lord's Prayer says. Forgive us our trespasses as what? We forgive those who trespass against us. If you holding on to that thing for 20 years, you will be 20 years waiting on your blessing.
You're going
to never lie, because you're going to miss them. So, all I'm saying is, let this mind be in you, also in Christ Jesus. Show some love, show some mercy. Let's get this thing, amen, shining light and darkness. Folks can be saved. Because it don't make a hill of beans, amen, about saved folk bickering with what? Saved folk. Amen. I'm finished. We can beat that horse to death, amen. But Paul wrote that letter, amen, to the church. And so we are the church. So we are seeing how it's applicable to us. and what it takes for us, amen, to be like-minded and Christ-minded, that those that are lost want to come to know the Lord and Savior of this life. Amen. There might be someone here today that doesn't know Jesus and the free pardoning of their sins. So he sent you an invitation that you can come and you can receive him as Lord and Savior of your life. And we would ask you to come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Just now. Just now, come to Jesus, come to Jesus, just now. He will save you, he will save you, he will save you, just just now, he will save you, he will save you, just now. Only trust him, only trust him, only trust him, only trust him, just now. Just now, only trust him, only trust him, just now. Amen. We are excited to go into our communion service. Amen. Second one in the year of our Lord. Can you imagine that? The second one in the year of our Lord, 2024. Lord have mercy, where does the time go? Amen. And we're already looking, going into March this week. Amen. But God has blessed us to be able to come through January and almost to the end of February. Amen. And we're thankful for his grace and his mercy. And so we're going to read our church covenant together. Amen. A lot of things in here. Amen. That we should be doing. How we love on each other and for each other and trust in God. And along with reading that second, reading that book of Philippians, just rehearse your church covenant. Amen. And we can make sure, amen, that we're in line for what we say we're going to do with each other and before God and this assembly. Amen. Amen. Having been led as we believe by the Spirit of God to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, and on the profession of our faith, having been baptized in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, we do now in the presence of God, angels, and this assembly, most solemnly and joyfully enter into covenant with one another as one body in Christ. We engage, therefore, by the aid of the Holy Spirit, to walk together in Christian love, to strive for the advancement of this church in knowledge, holiness, and comfort, to promote its prosperity and spirituality, to sustain its worship, ordinances, discipline, and doctrine, to contribute cheerfully and regularly to the support of the ministry, expenses of the church, the relief of the poor, and the spread of the gospel through all nations. We also engage to maintain family and secret devotion, to religiously educate our children, to seek the salvation of our kindred and acquaintances, to walk circumspectly in the world, to be just in our dealings, faithful in our engagement, and exemplary in our deportment, to avoid all tampering, backbiting, and excessive anger, to be filled with the Spirit and not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, and to be zealous in our efforts to advance the kingdom of our Savior. We further engage to watch over one another in brotherly love, to remember each other in prayer, to aid each other in sickness and distress, to cultivate Christian sympathy and feeling and courtesy and speech, to be slow to take offense, but always ready for reconciliation and mindful of the rules of our Savior to secure without delay. We moreover engage that when we remove from this place. We'll as soon as possible unite with some other church where we can carry out the spirit of this covenant and the principles of God's word. We got a lot of Philippians in there. Dr. Lynch. Amen. Thank God. Amen. Covenant. Amen. How we going? Let alone each other. Amen. Do things that pleasing in God's sight. We come to this white covered table. Amen. The second time of this year. What a blessing. Amen. And we're going to just ask God to have his way that we would be able to experience this with a renewed, refreshing, amen, the spirit was doing what he left on record for us to do, and that is to do this in remembrance of him and what he did on Calvary's cross. And he shed his blood, amen, that we might have life, amen. Thank you, God. Let us pray. Heavenly God, our Father, we thank you for allowing us to come one more time to the white covered table. God, we pray that you would bless this bread that symbolizes your body that was broken. God, we pray that you would bless this cup of the fruit of the vine that symbolizes your blood that was shed for the remission of sin of many. And bless Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Israelites were delivered from the hands of the Egyptians at bondage, and that God, through Moses, told them to take the lamb and kill it, to take the blood and to put it on the doorpost and the lintel. And when the tenth plague of the death angel came and see the blood and pass over. And so fast forward to the night when Jesus was betrayed, and he said, I'm instituting a new covenant that was in his blood and not the blood of an animal. And he sat down with his disciples, took bread and he blessed it, broke it, and said, this is my body. This is broken for you. Eat this and remember for me. Let us eat together. And in like manner, after they had supped, he took the cup of the fruit of the vine. The new covenant in my blood, amen. I've shed for remission and of many. Often you drink it and remember it for me. Let us drink together. Amen. Did not give a benediction according to the record, but they went out into the Mount of Olives. And they sang a hymn. So as you go out into your mind, Mount of Olives, and sing your hymn, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Amen. God bless you. Have a smile upon you. I know it was the sun. I know it was.